They can't redistrict you out of the listening area. Just download the free Seville 107.5 app for your Android or iPhone.
Joining us now, and boy, I thought we just kind of talked in abstract about redistricting, but these holiday weeks really drive folks, if they have to make a controversial decision, let's do it on a Tuesday afternoon in between Christmas and New Year's. And if you think the Supreme Court of Virginia is immune to such thoughts, I've got a bridge I can sell you in Brooklyn as well. Joining us now on the Newsmakers line for a special report on redistricting and the General Assembly is Chairman of the Republican Party of Virginia, Rich Anderson. Merry Christmas, Rich. I hope you had a wonderful holiday. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, just fine. Merry Christmas to you, Joe. The Supreme Court just laid a gift in all our laps, didn't they?
I tell you, you know, and I'm guilty, my listeners will tell you, of being a Pollyanna amongst Pollyannas sometimes, and I try to find positives in things, and I have a lot of listeners who get very active or want to get very active. I said, you know, now is the time to reach out to the political leaders of whatever congressional House or Senate districts and how they get redrawn, because that tumult, they need the help of volunteers to be precinct or to help them figure out who's precincts and where and things like that. I mean, is that an unfair thing to say about a political party, be it Democrat or Republican, that right now there's a lot of folks with a lot of work ahead of them, and if you've ever wanted to be part of the process, now's the time to volunteer to be part of the help, right?
Well, correct. There's going to be a lot of moving pieces on the political chessboard in Virginia. Here in the near term, but also in the long term, with new districts and not knowing the outcome of the court case that's in front of a state court right now regarding whether or not we will do House of Delegates elections in November of 2022, which of course puts the House in a posture of running in 21, 22, and then 23 to get back on cycle. There are a lot of known unknowns and unknown unknowns.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
We'll just have to see how all that plays out. It's going to be interesting for all Virginians, and particularly for the two political parties.
And that may not be the only suit. Just yesterday, the NAACP said they weren't happy with two of the congressional districts. So that may still have ramifications in this. But take us into the suit that's there now. If I understand it correctly, the Democratic Party of Virginia, and I guess you should figure they think there's a gain to be made by revoting the House, is in court. Give us the details of where we are and what the RPV is doing defend the districts or defend the election that just happened?
Well, of course, this changes that whole calculus for everyone. We are less than 24 hours into the announcement of the final districts.
Sure.
And the Supreme Court did what the Supreme Court of Virginia and the Supreme Court of the United States are so adept at doing, and that is throwing a curveball that you don't expect. So just when all the prognosticators say, the maps this year will be largely intact. The final maps will be intact and very similar to the proposed maps. Voila, we get a fairly dramatic change. Mm-hmm. And so everyone's going to be contending with that. So it's hard to predict. There will be a tremendous amount of analysis, as you know, in the coming days, not only by the political parties, but by those out there who are just in the internet world, love to prognosticate about these sorts of things and what the impact is. And we just have to see how all that plays out. We are crunching our best view of that right now. Again, it's only been, roughly 12 hours, maybe a little bit more since we saw those final maps. But at the congressional level, it really gives us kind of a view of the playing field. It looks like the 7th district is going to be more tenuous. In the 10th, it's going to be challenging for Republicans, but not insurmountable, because just imagine in 2021 in this election cycle, every unpredictable happened and it was a clean Republican sweep. Our Democrat friends in Richmond and Washington are helping us very much in that regard. And then, of course, down in the second, the incumbent there is in a vulnerable position. And we have been saying all along, Governor-elect Youngkin has been saying all along, that we are going to make the second, the seventh, and the tenth ours in 2022. And we have not lost sight of that goal.
Well,
there's
certainly
a number of factors working in our favor.
Looking at these maps, and of course these maps came out early in December, and then they had the two public hearings on the 15th and the 17th, and as far as I can tell, the Supreme Court just said, yep, that's fine, we're done here. And I mentioned the NAACP had a suggestion or two that may still have some things to come, but that 10th district is now everything in Albemarle County, ostensibly north of I-64 and the city of Charlottesville, which the 5th gets to keep. But, I mean, you got Greene County and Culpeper County and Madison. So there's a big change. And Loudoun County, which was really the flashpoint of Governor-elect Youngkin's victory, was building off of what was going on there. So do you think that that particular one has got some compelling information for you guys to chew on?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think a good hunk of these congressional districts do. And then as we wade through that, because that's in the immediate future, those elections are without question going to happen in November of 2022.
Sure.
We'll have a better view of that. But I read an article this morning, since you're a Charlottesville-centric station, the Democrats in Charlottesville and Albemarle are not going to like the new 5th district that they got. I suppose that the special masters reacted to a number of complaints they got, actually from liberal voters who didn't want to be part of a conservative district that centers itself, anchors itself in a rural area of Virginia. Those special masters listen, and so we get what we get. So, So that is going to be interesting. They're going to remain, the Albemarle, Charlottesville Democrat voters are going to remain in the 5th districts. And because essentially they're a blue island. They're in a floating around in a bobbing in a red sea. It's hard to connect them to other blue areas. So in your area, I think that assessment that voters in your local listening area are not going to like the new 5th district.
Well, and splitting them in half. I mean, the northern Albemarle area, Earliesville and all that, versus Scottsville and the points to the south, are going to be interesting. I want to focus, though, on the House. Rich, because this seems to be where their anxiousness is. Now, you told me something in the green room that I didn't know. I guess Ralph has taken me off of his press release emails. But last I had heard, the Democratic Party was trying to get Ralph Northam to, before January 15th, say, yes, we need to have new House and Senate elections to make these representative district changes. And you say he's not in on that.
Yeah, well, I read a news article within the last several days where he had stated that he was not going to call a special session of the Virginia General Assembly before January 15th.
Oh, okay. Okay, so he's not going to weigh in that way. But now, is that something that's going to come up once the gavel comes down on the General Assembly and we get the State of the Commonwealth address and Todd Gilbert, perhaps only the shortest tenure as a speaker, but who knows? But takes over as Speaker of the House and the General Assembly begins.
Well, I don't have any insider perspectives on what sort of agenda that they will pursue regarding all this. We're just going to have to see it unfold. That's certainly not within my lane, so that's not something that I've focused on or engaged in the House leadership any sort of discussion.
Well, just as you're in your expertise, having been a member of the House of Delegates, this is the kind of thing somebody will patron a bill that will say we should have an election in November for the House and Senate, and then that goes to, I guess, privileges and elections, or I guess in the Senate it's just privileges now. Am I correct in that, Rich, or am I misunderstanding?
Oh, you very well could have someone introduce a bill like that. I don't know of any just yet. I haven't seen any mention in the media or on the LIS system that the General Assembly maintains for the managing of the bills that traverse the General Assembly.
Okay.
So it's a very distinct possibility that that could happen. If that's a case that's in Virginia State Court right now to compel elections in November of 2022 for the House of Delegates, if that is still in limbo, I feel fairly confident based on my experience with legislation moving through the House Privileges and Elections Committee, which is the body that hears all those sorts of bills. They're going to say we need to see the outcome of the court action. I would expect that would be probably the strategy of the leadership of the Privileges and Elections Committee. We'll just have to see how it plays out, but that's my expectation.
Rich Anderson, chairman of the Republican Party of Virginia, we're talking about the Supreme Court of Virginia yesterday saying, yeah, we're just accepting the special master's maps to the objections of NAACP, and a lot of Republican leaders are not happy, especially, I guess, mainly because the press coverage and the announcement of the maps, Rich, as it was sent to me, the press release said, well, we're really happy because this keeps it about 6-5 every year in the congressional representation. I'm like, I thought this was supposed to be not about which political party had a majority or not. But you say, you know, based on the gains made during the Youngkin election, that they may, you know, want to rethink that strategy, that this is all good for Democrats in Virginia.
Right. This is very unpredictable, Joe. So the prognosticators can prognosticate all they want, but there are so many dynamics at play here, so many moving parts. This is just absolutely unpredictable. But I will go back to my entering argument earlier in this morning's conversation, and that is I feel confident in the team that we will field in these 11 congressional seats in these races. I feel very confident about the ultimate outcome. We did very well in Virginia this year. The Democrats in Richmond have handed us a gift, and while they will no longer be in the majority, the Democrats in Washington, D.C. will continue to be the gift that keeps on giving. So we'll see how she plays out.
Well, and I know we had an awful lot of folks. I think it was somewhere around 50 or 60. I'm kidding. Republicans that had at very least announced their intentions to run for the nomination to run against Congresswoman Spanberger. Now that district really looks like what is now called the first district. It goes from Fluvanna and Louisa all the way down through James City County and York. I don't know where some of these congressional people's addresses are. I also know Morgan Griffith apparently is not in his district anymore, either, there. But talk about all these candidates for the seventh. I guess your first order of business is kind of sorting them out, or is it on their campaigns, to figure out what districts they would be running for if they still want to be in Congress?
Well, there is no requirement that a candidate for Congress reside in their district. They must only reside somewhere in the Commonwealth of Virginia. But
really?
Yes,
that surprises me.
The House of Delegates and the Senate of Virginia are required by the Constitution of Virginia, however, to reside in the district they represent. But in the United States House of Representatives, that is not the case. In fact, Congressman Morgan Griffith in the 9th Congressional District, an outstanding representative, he has lived just a few miles right outside of the 9th Congressional District that has run for the last decade from Roanoke down to the Tennessee border. And so he and Congressman Ben Klein, who represents the 6th Congressional District, which is essentially the Shenandoah Valley District.
Yeah, now.
They resided in the same location. Ben at one time lived in Lexington and then migrated down to Roanoke to be more centric to a major metropolitan area. But Congressman Griffith lives just a sneeze outside there. So he effectively is right there. So there is no requirement for that. We'll see how all that plays out.
Well, egg on my face as well as everyone in my industry, because half the media coverage has been about Abigail Spanberger not being in the 7th District anymore. So I guess that really doesn't matter, does it?
No, she could effectively run there should she choose to do so. Going back to something you said with this question, the announcements made by various candidates for various congressional districts. Prior to the release of the draft maps, a number of individuals, both sides of the aisle, had announced for specific districts. Then when the draft maps came out, in some cases they shifted to a new district that in which they physically resided. And then now that the final maps are out and did not comport precisely, let's just put it that way, precisely with the original draft map, some have regravitated back to their original intentions. So there's a lot of moving pieces here. And now that the maps are final, I would expect both sides of the aisle will have a considerable number of announcements here in the near term.
Well, we'll keep a speed dial available for it. Now, that said, you mentioned the one suit about the maps in state court. Do you have any sense of the timetable on that? Obviously, heading into New Year's, who knows? I mean, they could announce something today the way things have been going. But what do you know or sense about that, Rich?
The only thing that I can predict about that is that it's entirely unpredictable. Again, we've got all kinds of amateur prognosticators out there who have their pet theory about how that will be moved. It's been essentially in suspended animation awaiting the outcome of these maps. But now that this is relatively settled, there may be some litigation. But now it sort of permits that lawsuit in state court to proceed. We'll see how, again, I know I've used this phrase several times, we'll see how it plays out. It's just unpredictable.
So now it's on to the legislating, at least, in January 15th in the inaugural. It's certainly, it's one of those things, and I read those same blogosphere posts. It's like we just can't wait until somebody's sworn in before the swearing at begins. And everyone's saying, and honestly, Rich, it's amazing to me sometimes that the Republican Party ever wins an election the way we start acting when we do. To that end, I mean, it's good. At least the opinions are in the room. Are you pleased with the development of the governor's cabinet as his promotions?
The governor has 12 cabinet appointments to make, and then he has three additionals that are of cabinet rank, such as the chief of staff, the general counsel, and the diversity officer for the Commonwealth of Virginia. So of the 12 secretaries, he's made three announcements. He has nine more to go. I know that there has been some comment in the media about he had originally said he wanted to make a lot of those announcements earlier in December rather than later. But I can tell you there's been so much enthusiasm about the forthcoming administration that Governor Youngkin will lead that individuals have come by the droves to apply for positions, probably more than ever in, Virginia history, at least Virginia memory here in modern times. And so he wants to get it right rather than comport with a deadline, timetable that he has set for himself.
Well,
so I don't have any insights into that process. That would be inappropriate for me. I'm on one of the landing teams, which has worked with the outgoing administration, but I am not on the piece that is doing the vetting and interviewing. That belongs somewhere else, and I have no visibility into that. But to answer your question directly, I am pleased with the appointments that Governor Youngkin has made. I know him to be a very contemplative, deliberative guy, and he has made some wise decisions. And for those that he may make of the 12, if any are contentious, and invariably they always are on both sides of the aisle when a governor makes the cabinet appointment, give our new governor the opportunity and his new secretaries to lay out the vision for the Commonwealth and to lead us there. And so it's his decision to make in consultation with the General Assembly, because they do have a confirmation responsibility. But that's going to play out, and I think we're going to get a great administration that supports a great governor.
Well, and as I said, you certainly weren't going to be in the room with his opponent there. So, Rich Anderson, chairman of the Republican Party, RPV.org, volunteer. It's tumultuous times, all of them, all the way down to your local precincts. Volunteer to be part of it. It is the time for that. Rich, just once more for my listeners so they know you guys are ready if things start to look like they're coming off the rail in redistricting to push back on it, you know, whether it be in court or legislatively?
Oh, yes. If we feel like something is unfair, is improper, you can rest assured that the Republican Party of Virginia will act and will do so very strenuously. And before you hit the kill switch for me this morning, our website address, you said rpv.org, it has been updated to a more easily remembered URL, and it is simply virginia.gop. www.virginia.gop.
Well, there you go. You've corrected me twice this morning, Rich. That's a record for most guests, but I appreciate it there. As always, thank you for visiting. You're the first Republican Party chair that ever returned my Christmas card, and I appreciate that. I don't know what that says, but have a wonderful New Year's, and I know you've got a busy time, as all the party chairs do, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Thanks, Joe. You and all your listeners have a happy new year.
The original social media. Call Joe Thomas in the morning on anything.
What are you?
Really?
I'm Batman.
Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.